Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You can be seated. Genesis chapter 3. We'll still continue on the voice of God, the proceeding. What? Let's broadcast quickly. Why don't we have now the serpent was more subtle than it. Are you there? Verse 1. Let's run quickly so we'll be able to do stuff before. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the... No.
Go and fill up something here. Why is this place dark?
And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Amen. Aaron, what do you think this part of the scripture means? You did philosophy. All of you have denied you didn't do philosophy. Chisom, I know you do philosophy. Some ID in your face. I know you do philosophy. So, you know, one of the things in philosophy is that you analyze questions. Is it not true? So, you need to know, first of all, there is a qualification that is given to this man. They said that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. More subtle. What's another word for subtle? Cunning. Crafty. What does it mean to be cunning? I need us to run faster. Who can help me quickly? Chinedu, what does it mean to be cunning? The two of you, come and sit in the front. Why? Come and sit in the front. You cannot come all the way and you are sitting in the back. If it's lecture now, you'll be struggling for front seat. Sit down. No, sit down. What does it mean to be cunning?
To easily get hold of someone by
word, deceit. I like the word deceit. Yes.
Entice.
I will not take. Yes. Cunning. It's nice. Why are you people more interested in words? Cunningness is, first of all, it is a reality. It's like a state of being. Is it not true? In my own opinion, it's a state of being, because it's actually a mutation of what we call wisdom. Most of it has its character. What you people are just telling me are his characters of somebody is cunning, he is deceitful, he also comes with flattery. Is it not true? There are many characters of somebody that is cunning. The same way the wisdom that is from above has many characters. Well, one of them is that he's not proud. He doesn't see. There are many things. Are you with me now? But I'm talking about the state. When you say somebody is wise, there is a state of reality that you are trying to emphasize. The same way when you say somebody is cunning, there is a state. Cunningness is not. It is bad for a believer, but it is not really a wrong thing to possess. If you are just a natural man, it is actually an advantage for the natural man. Is it not true? If you are selfish, it is an advantage. Of course, one of his characters is also selfishness. If you are in the natural world, if you are not cunning, you won't survive. That's just the truth. So, I want you to explain the state of being. Let's leave the character first. The issue with you people is that you are removing the good part of his definition, actually. Because the word cunningness has capacity to have... It means that you... Remember, the scripture says that he is more subtle than any other beast. That means that he has a capacity to outwit. Now, listen to me now. He has capacity to outwit the next person. That means the person is not dull, actually. The person must be intelligent, must be many things. So he said that when you are cunning, I think... What it means is that you use your wit for your selfish gain. That's the simplest explanation of being cunning. You have to add wit because it is something good that Satan now polluted. It is that nature that is added to intelligence or wisdom that made it cunning. And that nature is the nature of Satan. And the nature of Satan is self and flesh. I want to tell you that in its original context, cunningness is more like the opposite of wisdom. In my own opinion. It is not really foolishness. Because you are using something good, but in a negative way. For selfish reasons. Anyway, that's according to some of the interpretation of scripture. There are sometimes the Bible will tell you what is wicked. You will be shocked. Amen. So I want to tell you that originally what Satan possesses, it's something if you have as a human being, people will actually like to be your friend, clap for you. They will even need you. In fact, if you have this thing, they'll be giving you more promotion in your office because you'll be getting new ways to outwit people, collect their money, make workers work more than you are paying them. Amen. Anyway, that's not my point. My point there is the question. He now said, and he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree. If your Bible is your own, see that place. He said, had God said, mark it, had God what? Said. If your Bible is not your own, don't mark. Had God what said? The key word there is the speakings of God. That God what said something. It means that the circumference of oppression, as far as man is concerned, is what God said. Is it not true? So, the basis and backing of our living in the context of the ordination that God has for us is only what God has what said about us. Tinedu, what has God said about you in this week? You know, sometimes we take these revelations high. Jesus said, I don't do anything except what my Father. Sometimes Jesus will stay all night praying. He began to wonder why he's praying. Is it that he doesn't have food? Is it that he doesn't have clothes? He cannot be praying to walk in the miraculous because he's already walking in it. So what is he still praying for? It is when he comes out, he will now tell you that I and my Father are what? One. So he has gone to a place where he has assimilated God's nature and agenda. Anything he now says after then is only what God wants to be said, how he wants it to be said. He will move straight to the pool of Bethesda and heal one person, because that is what God is doing. You do many things that God is not doing, and then do one thing that God is doing. As I'm maturing in God, I found out that, you know, I've heard it long ago. But if you are young, you are young. There are things you will never agree that is true until you start maturing. Do you know how long I've heard that obedience is better than sacrifice? I didn't know what it meant. You don't know yet. Obedience is far superior to sacrifice. And anytime you hear obedience, that means there is an instruction. Is it not true? If there is no instruction, there is no basis for obeying. So, but if you are young, you'll be full of activity. You God can tell you in the morning, between 5 to 6, pray for 1 hour. And then you do many things, do many things. Or he will tell you, between 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. in the night, make sure your phone is off. And then you keep your phone on till that time. And then by 12, you now off it till 12 p.m. tomorrow. And you say, at least I've compensated for. What God told you, simply off it between. It's just 1 hour or two that he told you to do it. Your disobedience now made you to go and do what he didn't tell you. And one of the ways you know you are walking in disobedience is that grace will be taken away from you. Let me say it again. God can only sponsor what he instructed you to do. Any other agenda, aside the fact that Satan will hijack it, he will not sponsor it. He is not obligated to sponsor our selfish agenda. So Jesus stays all night. On one of the occasions, the Bible said he stayed all night and prayed, and in the morning he chose the 12 apostles. It is us that thought he stumbled on Andrew and stumbled on all those people. He used prayer to gather them. Okay. Yes. It is a. Is it not? We can categorize it under sorcery. Is it not true? They call it magic. Say Bible turning. You bring Bible. You have done it now. Come and tell us how it's done. Just tell us, just tell us. Me, I've not, I've heard, but I've not done it.
In London, I've done it. We just close the Bible. They say, open, if you can open, that is, if you can open it and open it at once to Nehemiah, that means in the spirit, they will not.
There is actually one that they will say, if it is this thing, let it turn to this side. If it's, I don't know.
No, that one is not Bible.
That one
is not.
Jesus. This one is by the spirit of sorcery. And then the Bible will actually move by a supernatural means. It is not. Hey. Jesus. It is not. You said, open to the book of Matthew. I now open. Even me. There is a way. I have read my Bible a lot. So I can close my eye like this and open to Matthew. Once I'm putting my hands on the pages of my Bible, I already know the weight of, you know now, the weight of the paper. I know that Matthew cannot be beyond here. Haven't you done it? Unless you have not read your Bible for long. Don't you know where Revelation is? Can you be looking for Revelation in the middle? Psalms, you already know, is in the middle. The book of Kings, you know, it's not exactly in the middle, but it's close. Is it not true? No, that one is not Bible. Okay, let me get back to what we are saying. Now, the reason why I'm reading this scripture is because we cannot explain this thing. Had God said, this was the first temptation of the first man. You see, the devil doesn't change tactics. So. He can modernize it, but it's still the same thing. Still the same thing. The sins is still the same sins now. Is it homosexuality? What is it that is then that is not here? Is it witchcraft? Is it sorcery? When the leader of those fallen angels, there were seven leaders of the fallen angelic beings that invaded earth with their host. When they came and invaded the children of men, as the scripture says, that some of them took advantage of the women. Now, that is not the case. The most important thing is that it was on that account that the scripture says, from the day of a man's youth, his ways are evil. You know, I have taught you people on the mystery of seeds. That as soon as man fell, there was a prophecy that went out that the seed of the woman shall crush. So after that time, Satan set forth an agenda to make sure God doesn't get any seed. That every other seed that comes out from the woman is corrupted, because he knows the circumference of God's oppression. That it is not enough that God wants to walk. The vessel he will walk with has to meet a certain standard. Are you with me now? And some of them that has mixed and contaminated seeds will never be used by God. So one of the ways Satan made sure of this is that he allowed those fallen angels to invade the daughters of men. And then the seeds that came thereof became, some of them became very wicked. The Bible says that the ways of man was wicked, even from the way. The truth is that, you know, I've said it before, even though man has sinned, but originally the sin of man did not make man knowledgeable in sin. There is two things. Are you with me now?
Yes.
When you became righteous, it does not automatically mean that you are knowledgeable in life. Are you with me now? The same way, when man sinned, it does not mean that you automatically became knowledgeable in death. I hope you know that death is beyond the event. It's also what? A process. Somebody has to teach you the ways of death. Is it not true? The same way, when you are born again, somebody has to teach you the ways of life. That is why the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is the teacher. And when he comes, what will he do? He will take you into the depths of the
the realities that is domiciled in that life. So the job of the Holy Ghost is to take us into the teachings of the life that is now in us. In the same way, when man fell into sin, it was not enough to make man know the ways of death and sin. Somebody has to educate man in such a manner that now that you are born again, the Holy Ghost is educating you in life. Are you with me now? So that is what those fallen beings set out to do. Who taught man the ways of witchcraft? Certainly not God. Is it not true? Then who? Because even though when man sinned, what he retained is capacity to interact in sin and death. He has the capacity. But until he is taught what he is capable of, he will never function in it. In the same way, when we come into life, I hope you know you have many capacities. But until you are taught how to function in that your capacity, you will never participate in it. That is also a philosophy, or rather a law that Satan took advantage of. So when those beings come, what they did is that they taught man the ways of, there were seven, and some of the seven of them came with seven syllables. There is one that came down with witchcraft. Eh? It is that one that is, I mean, there are seven pillars of the kingdom of darkness. Those men pioneered those seven pillars. Who taught man that when you shed an innocent blood, you gain a spiritual advantage? How did man know that? What does God mean by saying, Cain, sin is knocking at your door? I don't want to go there. Sin is what? Knocking at your door. There is an education. Even though I know you are bad, though, but you have not been educated in your wickedness yet. So I come to warn you, resist this education. Suddenly, men became deep in witchcraft and sorcery. It was then that men were taught to also engage in male womankind to womankind, mankind to mankind, or male kind to mankind. How does men don't know that? Somebody taught them. It's an education. See, once you see a new civilization introduced, just know that there is a spirit powering it. Somebody asked me, if God makes you a gatekeeper, how do you ensure that your gate is kept? How do you man your gate? I say, you don't even need to see in the spirit. It is simple. Watch out for trends. Say trends. Trends is a sign that a new spirit has entered the territory. When a new spirit enters a territory, it brings a civilization. And once a civilization invades a new trend will come. Then we start seeing people like the guy that calls himself Naira Marley. It is a civilization that has invaded. So you can use that trend to know that a spirit is now what? At work. A spirit that sponsors. What is that? I don't even know. Utter godlessness and love for no rule. Recklessness. What will I say? If there is rule, let's break down the rule. Lawlessness. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. You don't need to look for the guy. What you need to know is that there is a heavy spirit of lawlessness that is released in the territory. So it is that spirit that now invaded. And the sign that he invaded is that we saw what? New trends. New trends. So as a gatekeeper, your job is to look out for trends. You don't even need to see. If you see in the spirit, it's good. But if you don't, what do? Look out for trends. That is how a gatekeeper knows, because your job as a gatekeeper is to function as a custom officer. What you do is to check what enters and what leaves. If it's something you cannot do by yourself, what do? You raise an alarm. Say, raise an alarm. Die, enter here. My God. So man, even though he sinned and retained the capacity for sinning, he need to be educated in sinning. That is why there is a way you sin, a spirit will help you in that sin.
I hope you know.
Yes. There is a type of sin somebody will be sinning. You will not know. At this level of sinning, a spirit is helping this person. I hope you know. It is the same thing with life too. There is a way you will pray. We will know that you are being helped mightily by the Holy Ghost. The same way, there is a way you are into, somebody is into lying. We will know that a lying spirit is what? Helping you. Somebody said some lies are not normal, that they caught him in traffic. And he didn't know when he told them that his mother died now and he's rushing. They say, hey, well, I relieve. He didn't know, he did not plan the lie. He has so lied that the fact reproduced. It is functioning subconsciously. That means a spirit has started aiding this adventure. Just like as you are now, there are some things that will happen to you, that will happen now, you burst out in tongues. It is not normal. A spirit has started aiding your life. We cannot understand Genesis chapter 3, verse 1b, except we go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. You know, the Old Testament is like pictures. Then the New Testament is like the definition of those pictures. Meanwhile, I have heard people say that Jesus is not in the Old Testament. Is it true? That you can't see him doesn't mean he's not there. The whole of the Bible is about Christ and his kingdom. When you have lens and goggle, you will see Christ even in the sacraments. Eh? Eh? Who?
No, don't look at
me. We are talking about people. We are talking about. See, let me tell you. It's because he doesn't have lens. No? When you have lens and goggle, you will see Christ in the ordinances, even in the law. That is why the Bible now said, is it not in the book of Hebrews chapter 2? Or is it chapter 9? The Bible said that even the ordinances of the Old Testament has a semblance of divine ordinances. Help me, the exact word that is used there. Help me, Holy Ghost. He said even the old covenant has in it a semblance of divine ordinances. Is it not what he said there? Something close. Eh? Eh? Read it for us.
Then verily the first covenant.
Yeah. Hey, thank you. Had in it what?
Ordinances of divine.
So the issue now is that even though you are looking at it as the old covenant, are you with me now? It is the old covenant, but it has in it what? That means the reality that we now see in the new covenant was etched in as pictures in the old covenant. A man with goggles will see it. That is, if you now go further, the writer of the book of Hebrews started picking out those things that is there. And now started giving us the reality in the context of the new covenant. That's when we now understood that the curtain that divided The temple was not a curtain, it was actually the veil of the body of Christ, the flesh. When it was torn, we had us access. Say access. Everything there. As a matter of fact, I have taught you people that what Moses did not originate from Moses. That is the problem people have in interpreting the things that is in them. What's it called? What's the first four books called? Torah. What is captured in the Torah? It did not originate from Moses. You see, what God did is to show Moses a picture of the reality that is in the heaven. I have taught it here, mirroring divine ordinances. He actually went and told him, what you are seeing here, build it according to what? That pattern that I have showed you. That means, even though what Moses had was not the reality, it actually mirrored the reality. Eh? So if a man look well in that thing that Moses did, he will still see the reality, even though it is not the reality. But the good thing is that when Jesus came, he became a manifestation of that reality. Meanwhile, because we are still humans, and it is even on that basis that God revealed those things to Moses in pictures, it is still pertinent that in explaining the things that is now classified in Christ, we might still have to use those pictures. But when you end up in pictures, men will not benefit in the reality. So that is the challenge. Some people say no need for pictures. And some people say that it doesn't matter, the reality don't matter. No. The issue is that when you are a master, when you are skilled in the analysis of the scripture, what you do is that you move from the pictures and extract what? The reality. So when Paul comes to Catholic Church now, what he will do is not to start condemning it all. You know what he does? He goes to one of your sacraments. Picks up the sacrament and shows you the reality in that sacrament. That is what he did when he came to Ephesus. He came and they put up one thing and said, to the unknown God, there is no need to argue. He said, that one you said is unknown is the one I'm talking about. You see the wisdom in this. Because even in those things that you think are the pictures, no, there is a reality that is etched in them. The people are walking in the flesh because there is no man that have the capacity to reach in into the spirit and extract the reality that is in that. And because of it, they are bereft of their life. Anytime a man comes and is able to extract the reality, then people will benefit from it. Are you with me? So you can come and explain the reality of Holy Communion to people and they will partake of it and be healed. Partake of it and be filled with the Holy. Partake of it and be preserved. Now, the truth is that that thing is a picture of a reality. So when you stop at the picture, people have not benefited. You have to carry them from the picture to the reality. When you are limited, because it's just pictures that is around, you cannot enter the reality without moving from the picture. You are also limited too, because there are many people you can never minister to. So Paul comes to Unizik Okofia. You know what he does? He takes what was the most popular course there, the one everybody does. Anatomy. He takes his tangent from anatomy. You know what Paul will do? He will start explaining the scripture using the anatomy of the human body. It is my belief that the people that Paul used, you know, there are days Paul described the Christian as a soldier. Is it not true? There are days he described the Christian as a building, sometimes as a temple. Sometimes as an athlete. Is it not true? Some many things. It is my belief that the description he gave, the analogy he gave per time was dependent on the audience that he had. And I heard that the days he used the scripture, the believer as an athlete, that he was at Rome and he was watching the Olympics. That's actually historical. He was watching what? Say the Olympics. He said that many run, but he's only one that what? Obtained the prize. He said, I now run, that I will what? Obtain. It is because of that thing that I put my body under. He now said, if people run for a corruptible crown and they put themselves in this manner of dealings, how much more we that lay hold on things that is incorruptible? He said, I do this thing so that after I have finished ministering to people, I will not be a castaway. They said he was at Rome and he was watching the Olympics. The same way when he comes to the temple, he will analyze the believer as what? The temple. That is the skill we need to. How did I enter here? My God, help me back. So let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 4. The reason why we are going to the book of Matthew chapter 4 is to explain Genesis chapter 3 verse 1b that said, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Remember, there are two things you remember, we need to mark here. One is God said. Two is eat. So our emphasis is God said and then food. Speakings and what? Say food. Don't never forget. It will be key to our explanation. Say food. Matthew chapter 4. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's start from verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, what? Command what? To be what? Remember the two things I told you to mark. What? Say food. And then the speaking. Verse 3, 4 now said, but he answered, this is Jesus, and said, it is what? Written. Man shall not what? Live by bread alone. Remember what I said. Food, bread. The scripture says man shall not live by bread alone. That means that there are two kinds of life that man has. Is it not true? He said, he did not say you won't live by bread. He said, you shouldn't live by bread alone. That means there is a life that this bread sustains. But the life that is important in the context of what Jesus is saying, this bread cannot sustain it. That means man has what? Two kinds, not type. Say kind.
Kinds.
What are those kinds of life?
Human life.
Huh? Human life and what? Huh? Don't answer. You have seen something. Don't answer. Human life and what?
Divine.
Right. You should know it now. Human life and what? That's the name of the church of the one.
God life.
The God life. The exact word to use is God life. That is the best. The human diction is weak, but that's the best among the rest. Eh? Say the God life. Human life and the God life. How do you sustain the human life? Say bread.
Bread.
Like the one you, Michael Sabelahad. You don't learn today now. You see, your best attempt to sustain the human life. When Satan came to tempt Jesus, it is an offshoot from the old book. Remember the old book now? Genesis chapter 3. It is still about food. Have God said? You know, this time he didn't say have God said, but Jesus helped him to finish it. He said it is written. You will now, I don't want to go deep. The question is, where were these things written? God said it is only you that come to challenge Satan and you don't have something to counter it. Have you ever been having some kind thought? Let me give you an example. You'll be moving on the road. Car will be moving, fear. And something will now tell you, this car, you will have accident. They will carry you in the back. You'll be, has it not happened to you before? That thought did not originate from you. Satan does it in such a way for you that you will think it's coming from you. It's a lie. You think you are thinking about. No, it's a suggestion. And let me teach you one lesson. Write it down. You don't fight thought with thought. You fight thought with words. You don't fight thought with thought. You fight thought with words. So if Satan, sometimes he suggests to you and says, this one will happen to you. Don't come at me thinking back. No, don't think back. If it's something you rebuke, you rebuke. If it's something you confess, you confess. For example, let me give you another example. Maybe you had small issue in your leg. And then, after some, the thing, God has healed you. After some time, you wake up. And so the thing, Satan will say, is back. I'm telling you, it's back. I'm the one telling you, it's back. Find drug early so that it will not escalate. Go and do something. Tell people so that they will know what to do on time and help you. I'm not saying it's bad, but is it not true? When you hear that one, send it back to where it's coming from. It can never be God, though. See, let me say, I know many medical personnel are here. So I'm not against drug. In fact, somebody called me one day, and one of my boys, he was ginger. I told him, Kayo, bro, go and take drugs. This thing you are telling me to do is what should have been done before something went wrong. But something has gone wrong now. Let's rectify the matter before. Are you with me? Sometimes drugs keeps you until your faith has grown to the point that it can sustain you. If your faith has not reached there, don't deceive yourself. It is folly. Some people say they live in divine health. They don't have the faith. And you die a miserable death. Have you not seen those people? When they come, believe me, I used to think like that too. You know, you can't blame me. Those days I ate Jonji Lake like. And one of the things, there is a book on divine healing that Jonji Lake gave us. What Jonji Lake said in the opening, the first page, he said, how will you see Jesus? Remember the Bible says that the servant is not greater than the master. That whatever you see me do, do. He said, how will you see Jesus like this now? And Jesus entered teaching hospital and went to the chemist department and said, Yetumogu for headache. How will you see it? Give me a small drug for my headache. How will you see Jesus? He said, it's because of his lack of consecration that makes believers belittle the life of God that is in them. I shouted, Kaya Mokobos! I left. Satan laughed. Because he knew that I was just a balloon. I was a balloon. the substance that backs up the reality. The people live that reality.
Yes, yes.
But the substance that backs it up, I have told you people, I've forgotten where I said it, and the church members were looking at me like this. You know, it is true that faith is not logic, but faith is logical. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you say faith is not logic, the extension of when you extend it is the extension is not that faith is not logical. Even though faith is not logic, it is logical. It means it can be explained. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you cannot explain, if there is no substance backing what you claim to be faith, then it's not faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, how am I here? I'm solving somebody's problem. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the roll call on faith. He said that through faith, we what? Understand. That means the principal thing that faith ministers to a man is what? An understanding. It has to do with the mind. Something. That means faith brings an explanation. Is it not true? Is it not when you explain, somebody understands? That means it is just that you lack the capacity to explain the substance that backs up this reality that this man is living. Just because you lack the capacity doesn't mean it cannot be explained. Is it not true? Through faith, we understand that the things that do appear are not made from the things that appear are not made from the things that do, but they are made from things that is spiritual. But it is through faith that we understand. So faith ministers to you an understanding. It then means that faith is logical. But that faith is logical doesn't mean that faith itself is what? Logic. It is not logic, because faith is spiritual. But because we are spiritual beings also, we can be able to explain matters that is spiritual. Is it not true? That means a man that does not understand or have the capacity to pursue spiritual things will never understand what is faith. Because the reality of faith is in the spirit. Is it not true? It will take a sight in the spirit to be able to explain faith. And a professor of medicine will not never understand what is faith. Because it will take you carrying him to the realm of the spirit to explain it for him. And he cannot be carried. Just like Nicodemus, he said, good master, Jesus said, no, except a man be born again. He took the matter to where his reality resides, saying, meaning that calling me good master is inaccurate appraisal of who I am. My reality is in the kingdom. So if you will be able to appraise me well, you have to come in into the kingdom. And then a sight will be given to you. It is by that enablement that you can be able to give me accurate appraisal. And once a man comes into the kingdom, he will stop seeing Jesus as a good man. He will start seeing Jesus as what? The Messiah. That was why Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, it is not possible for you to come in into the economy of this knowledge, except my Father in heaven has done what? Revealed it to you. So we come in into the things of God by revelation. That's by the way. Let me run quickly. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, this is what this scripture is saying. Man shall not live by bread alone. Remember, we are trying to explain the temptation of the first man.
Yes.
That it was a temptation to consider profanity. Now, the reason why Eve considered profanity, remember the scripture said she was deceived. That was why when the serpent was coming, he has to wear the cloak of subtlety. So he came to minister to Eve to consider profanity. Profanity is, you know what is profanity? Profanity is considering something of high worth
something of very high worth, you consider it of no worth just because of a fleeting moment of pleasure or natural desire. That is what Esau did was called. Just because he's not seeing an immediate result, he now said that this thing is not. Let's do that. We are talking about, have you not seen it before? Should I give you an example? Let me give you an example you can relate with. They can come and tell you, "Oga, you better go and face your book or forget all this Bible and prayer you people are doing. Is it Bible and prayer that will give you food?" See, because you cannot at that instant prove that this thing they're saying is not completely true. So they will, if you consider that their statement, that means you are profane. Because in the real measurement of matter, spiritual things are far weightier than physical things. So by offering that food, Eve accepted that temptation because she lacked an understanding, as I said yesterday, of her identity. That one of the major things that understanding your identity ministers to you is that you will now know that you are a dual personality. Is it not true? The Bible says, if it's true that this statement of Jesus, let's leave many scriptures that said that we are dual personality. If it's true that this statement holds, that man shall not live by bread alone, that means that there are two kinds of life that a man needs to sustain, one by bread and one by the proceeding word. Is it not true? Am I correct? You sustain the human life by bread and sustain the God life by what? The proceeding word. So, the tempter came and met Jesus and presented the same matter that he presented to Eve, and desired of Jesus to be profane, considering the maintenance of the human life superior to the maintenance of the God life, and in that measure bringing down the estimation of the God life. So just because, remember, the reason is because, are you with me? Follow me. Don't miss this point. The reason is because the God life is actually embedded in the natural. Is it not true? How can you, except by faith, that's the only way you can teach us that you are not the same thing with the unbeliever brother or sister, neighbor that is near you. That is why most times the only way for people to know that you are now born again is by the fruits. Is it not true? But before the fruits came, it did not change that you are born again. Eh? That means the God life you received did not change anything in the natural. It was actually embedded in the natural. Is it not true? There is a challenge in it. The challenge in that is that you will tend to think less of the God life because there is a superimposition of the natural upon it. So it will take a consciousness to enthrone the God life above the natural life. So when Jesus was tempted by the devil, the target of that temptation is for Jesus to be profane in enthroning the natural human life above the God life. And the sign that you have enthroned the natural life above the God life is that you have desired the sustenance of your human life ahead and above the sustenance of your God life. Anytime you choose an agenda, a job, an assignment, a gift, anything at the expense of your walk with God, you have become profane because you have considered less the life of God that is inside of you. What will be the destiny? What will be the end of the God life that is in me? Will it grow? Will it be sustained? Will it be fed in my agenda in this? When you properly take an appraisal, you will be able to take steps. So you will now, when you understand it, you will not blame Adam and Eve, because people still do it now. Of course, the majority of the life that people live is in the natural.
it is an evidence that they still exalt the natural life ahead of the God life. So Jesus said, man shall not live by what? Bread alone. Except by, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That means that the God life is thereby sustained by the proceeding word. If it's true that the God life is sustained by the proceeding word, how important is the proceeding word? The measure of your living in the life, that is, the measure of your living in the God life, is the extent, the frequency, the access, and the building that you have received from the voice of God. You have to go and get this tape and listen to it. You did not get this tape. And I can't stop now because his revelation is flowing. Let me finish it. Even me, I might have to go back and listen to it so that I can be help. I'll be able to help you better tomorrow. I know some questions you are already asking. I will answer it in tomorrow's teaching. Now, it is important you know that just as you are growing physically and you desire a lot of building and nutrient to build up yourself in the physical, in the same way, there is a God life inside of you that will remain at a particular state except it receives sustenance. And is living, your living in that God life is dependent on the sustenance that you have received. What the question is now, what sustains the God life in you? The proceeding word. So, if it's true that you live by the proceeding word, how much have you lived? Chinedu, how much have you lived? If it's true you live by the proceeding word, how much have believers lived, my brother? You will now see that we are not actually living this life. Jesus said, I live by my Father. I live by my Father. What does he mean? And in the same way that he lived by his Father, we also what? Live by him. Haven't you heard it in the scripture? He lived by his Father. He lived by his Father, and we live by what? Him. See, let me make it simple, so that you understand. If you get admission, get job, get wife, get car, it has to be powered by the proceeding word so that it will actually mirror what is captured in the God life. Remember what I said, that the God life is embedded in the natural. So, even when we are in the natural, the activities of the natural also allows us an expression of that God life. So, when we live our natural life as a typical expression of the proceeding word of God, what it means is that even in the natural, that the God life is also finding what? Expression. Remember, the God life is locked up in the natural. It takes the proceeding word of God to make sure that there is no difference between the natural life you are living and the supernatural life that is inside of you. Because it is the proceeding word that supersedes the God life over the human life, such as it should have been. So that when you wake up in the morning and pray for 1 hour, that is the demand of the God life that is in you. Are you getting the point now? When you wake up and do Bible study for 1 hour, it is the demand of the God life that is in you. When you wake up and engage, are you with me? For example, sometimes the God life will be telling you, don't open Facebook today. Don't open. You will open. Because, are you with me? You will go and open Facebook. Sometimes the God life will be telling you, don't marry this lady. Don't marry this lady. Don't marry this lady. You will go and marry. That is a life. That adventure you took was not powered by the proceeding word. If you live by the proceeding word, and you married without receiving the preceding word concerning that marriage, what do you call that marriage? Is it a living? My brother, if it is true, this our analysis is correct, how much is believers living today? There are many things believers are doing. Jesus is not aware of it. I'm telling you, if we can bring ourselves to these basics of Christianity, the church will become more powerful. This is what made the apostolic church powerful. Some of them, they are willing to sit for 1 year just to receive instruction on the next move. We sometimes, if God is not talking, we will devise strategy to achieve it. And anything you achieved in the flesh can never fulfill God's purpose. What did I say? Anything you achieve by your own power, the flesh can never fulfill God's agenda. God is not just interested in the results, He's also interested in the process. As a matter of fact, it is humans that are interested in the results. What God is interested in is the process. So, well, maybe some of us, when we come now, we move in the anointing, the power. There were days we are fasting and doing all those things. We still fast and pray for higher dimensions. When we are doing those fasts, God is removing anger, lust, pride, and many things from us. It was the process. He was taking advantage of our fasting and prayer and dealing with us. Is it that He can't give us the power without us doing it? He can, actually. There are people that had it. And most of those people, 90%, He destroyed them. Haven't you seen them? Young boys that worked in forensic prophetic. And their father started calling them papa, mommy. Eh? And they went off. Let me stop here. Tomorrow we continue. Are you blessed?
Yes.
If you are blessed, ask God, let my life be a mirror image of the God life. Let my natural living be a mirror image of the God life that is in me. May, you know, there is something that Job said. He said, when he was strong, full of strength, there was a testimony he had. He said that the voice of God was upon my tabernacle. He washed my feet with water. That was his boast. That all the time, the words and revelations of God, the preceding words, flooded his heart. It was the basis of his boasting, because that's where his strength is. My brother, your strength is somewhere. Your living is somewhere. Your accuracy is somewhere. It is in that place that the voice of God has become abundant. It is in the abundance of the speakings of God that we find resources, that we find strength, we find living, we find protection and preservation. Can you cry for 2 minutes and ask God, let your voice be abundant in my life. Let your speakings be loud. Just like Job said, he said there were days that his voice was filled. His voice filled my tabernacle. It is this man that will survive in this. It is by that speaking that we are molded. Don't you will turn out to another thing. Oh, this is why Christians stay in church for long and they do not turn out to what God intended for them. Because God is not speaking all the time. Ask God, speak all the time. Let my life be filled with your speakings. You don't know how important this prayer is until you build a castle in the sand. And then later on you find out that God was not in what you are doing. We are doing many things. It is just in the few of them that God is inside. The life of God is sustained by the voice of God. The life of God is sustained by the voice of God. Aiko barata sakambelatwa. Abrega barata hasane mantaria. My koranta barata hasale mandala. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We don't have time. When you go back, pray this prayer. You will see how strong you will become. You will see how you will make a mess of Satan. You will see how easy the Christian life is. You are blessed in Jesus' name.